I believe the restrooms are open, but if you need a key, I have a key to that as well. Ryan Price, who is the actual staff liaison to this group, he is on his way. He's running a little bit late, but he'll be here momentarily. He essentially takes care of all the administrative tasks, such as the meeting notes, the website, organizing this room, and all that kind of stuff. So he'll be here shortly. And I'm one of the project managers on the project that's before us tonight. So I'm not always here. It just depends on who is assigned to a certain project. They'll be present, but Ryan will always be here. He's the constant. So maybe with that, we'll just go around and have the members introduce themselves.
Francisco Duran, citizen member.
Jason Elmers, I'm the chair, and I represent the Potomac West area, I believe.
I'm Jeremy Fretz. I am an architect and serve in that position, and also was on the North Potomac Yard, whatever we called it, the commission that looked at what comes next that will now come back to us.
Tim Casey, citizen member of Potomac West as well.
Anthony Estrico, citizen member.
I'm Bob Rant. I am not on PIDAC. I am the audiovisual guy for this evening, so I'm Walsh Colucci representing the applicant.
So I guess with that, we can turn to the first and only case tonight, and I think Kathy Puskar is going to be handling that. So you may all recall that this particular project came before this board back in April, and at that meeting, the group, I think, had identified about four comments. And those have been addressed, I believe, but that's part of the presentation tonight. And actually, I did forget one thing, and that is the meeting notes from the April meeting. We do need to adopt those. Are there any changes to the notes?
I move that we adopt the minutes from April 12th.
Second. All those in favor?
Yeah, that's me. My bad. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Okay, thanks. Once again, Kathy Puskar with Walsh Colucci here on behalf of the applicant. I think Dirk said it correctly, and your minutes reflected that we came and presented the project in April, and you all had some comments that you wanted us to go back and look at and address. Those comments were as follow. You wanted us to enhance the main entrances on Swan Avenue, consider changing the color above the front entrance to match the blonde brick below, distinguish the front entrance wall, perhaps, by projecting it outward. There was also a request to increase the height of the blonde brick base to improve the balance of the building. There was a request to evaluate opportunities to reduce the top-heavy appearance of the building. And then there were some questions asking us if we could clarify the material of the cornice and top floor of the building. So here's what you saw in April, and here is our current elevation. As to the first item, to enhance the main entrances, what we have done is change the top floor color to break up the top floor and accentuate that accent feature. So we carried it all the way up to the top of the building, which I think was one of your recommendations. And then the exterior wall at the main entry was projected to interrupt the continuous frieze and cornice. So instead of it going straight across like it did before, you see some relief and a little shadow line there where the entrance feature is more prominent in response to that comment. The second item was to take the height of that blonde base up to improve the visual balance with the top and reduce the top heavy appearance. We also raised the cornice and frieze above the lintels. I love these fancy words. You can tell us what they mean. Raised the cornice and frieze above the lintels to decrease the visual appearance of the top floor height. And then we noted that that material was cementitious board. And then finally, you asked us for examples of kind of where that material had been used elsewhere. And so we brought you a couple of examples from within Potomac Yard as to kind of where a similar treatment existed. Now, and that then going to the elevations, this just kind of shows you all four elevations on the same page. And once again, the elevations with the changes that we have described to you. Now, in addition to those requests that you all have made, we have had some conversations with the neighbors. We had some have some conversations with staff, and we have made an additional revision to help soften the transition from the townhouses on Watson Street, which are a lower height, to the 110-foot office building that's going to be to the north of us. So if you remember, when we looked at these buildings, we had 70 feet of height with the two wings that came out to Watson Street. So we kind of talked with the citizens, talked with staff, and we have gone back, and this is hot off the printer today. We have stepped back the top floor of the building. So where you see this yellow proposed terrace, we lost two units on the building and pushed that mass back so that, if you go to the next one, the increase in distance, oh, maybe it was on the previous one. Is it missing?
No. Right there.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we pushed that terrace back, or that unit back, an additional 16 feet at the narrowest point and 28 feet at the farthest point. So looking at it kind of from the roof plan, you can see that that gray area is now a lower height, closer to the townhouses, to go from the townhouse height to the main portion of the building on the wing and then back to the 70 foot height. So what that means is, and I can't read it up there, that the, oh God, it's 55 feet to the main roof. It's 58 and a half to the top of the guard. So in the city of Alexandria, you can have a 3-foot parapet that does not count towards height of the building. However, there's a little bit of a conflict that has happened in other buildings, and I think we're trying to work through it with staff, which is when you have a rooftop terrace or an element, you need a guard that's 42 inches. So when you take that kind of 3 feet to 42 inches, that now counts towards your building height. And I think we're working with staff to figure out how we can remedy that in the zoning ordinance, because it's really being driven by code, whereas 3 feet used to be the number. So the main building height at this point is 55 feet, and then you have that guard for the terrace, and then the main building height, which is behind that, is at 70 feet. So what does that look like? This is if I'm standing on Mainline Boulevard. Once again, you can see that step back. And here is the prior relationship of the townhouses, both at Mainline Boulevard and a little bit farther up the street. And here's the proposed relationship. So whereas before, the 70 feet came all the way out to the end of the building, the 70 feet is now set back so that if you're standing at the townhouses and looking up, your sight line is going to read the 55-foot height building, which was anticipated under the existing zoning. And that is really the end of it. We only had a few things to go back and look at, and that's where we are today. So we wanted your comments on kind of the four changes that we made in response to your original comments, and then also just any questions or comments on the proposed reduction of the two units to kind of help soften that transition.
Can you go back to the slide with the four changes?
Sure, what would you like to see?
The listed changes. Just to remind myself.
That one? Well, here, this one.
That's fine, yeah,
right there.
While you're looking at that, I'll ask just more of a procedural question. Is the, or code question, are we limited here at all by FAA heights?
We are. We're limited throughout Potomac Yard by FAA heights, but it's not an issue for this height in this location. Yes, we have to pay close attention to that. Lamb AG is much more sensitive to that.
I'm working with the FAA on another project elsewhere near another airport.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. Especially since they changed the flight paths.
What's the total number of units then?
So it was 142, it's now 140.
And has parking been reduced because of the lack of those two spaces?
No, because once again, the citizens were also concerned, or residents, to make sure that we had adequate parking. So we have reduced the two units, but we're maintaining the same amount of parking. So it'll actually add a couple of spaces back into the mix that can be bought by unit owners.
So another question, and this, I was thinking about this today and reading through it, and this is for staff, because we're gonna start seeing a lot more, I think, now with North Potomac Yard as well. We have urban design guidelines that are in CDD 10 that apply to this, and a lot of those address parking and heights and setbacks and all that. I was not able to find in the ordinance, the adopted ordinances and the CDD, anything that really defined our role in commenting on the architecture. Are you able to clarify that at all?
I thought in the ordinance there's a section that talks about obviously adherence to the design guidelines. So that.
Yeah, I think the issue is, I think you're right, when we started Potomac Yard, right, and those approvals were back in 1999, this is the original mm-hmm. approvals, the city put together design guidelines that are very basic, that are much more about building mass, how the building fronts the street, having 80% of the building at the sidewalk, what the sidewalk should look like, but it didn't get into, it had some information maybe about basic materials, mm-hmm. but it's not nearly to the level of expectation of the design guidelines and standards that you would see today, either in Beauregard or Potomac Yard. I think they even have them in Oakville Triangle. So this kind of development is one of the kind of the last under the old Potomac Yard design guidelines. But I also think there has been an expectation created based on kind of what's been built so far as to what the city wants to see and what the community wants to see in terms of the design. But the guidelines are not nearly as detailed.
So from what I could find, the enacting legislation for this committee, this commission is, you know, says that we're to comment on the design.
Open for
And the
Which
state,
is to your, maybe to your benefit in some cases, and maybe not in others.
The purpose statement in the guidelines does say the purpose of these guidelines is to ensure a standard of high quality urban and architectural design within the new urban fabric of Potomac Yard. These guidelines are meant to assist members of the community, project developers, and city boards and staff through building an understanding of the important urban design principles that shape the plan. And then it says these guidelines are written for new development in Potomac Yard and are to be used as a supplement to the Alexandria City Code. Mm-hmm. Measurements are made according to standards in the Alexandria City Code. So, okay. But we can look at that more closely. Right. I know other groups are defined in the zoning ordinance, but.
So with that comes my comments on the architecture. No surprise, right? I'm very appreciative of the changes that have been made. I think you very successfully implemented the things that we asked for with one exception, which is, I think the top still reads as out of scale and bland. You know, it concerns me. I was over at, I don't know if anyone from your architecture team is here tonight.
Yep, Scott Fleming is right here with Restorland.
He's got it, there you are. You guys did Belpre as well? Did not, okay. But that was a good example. I was just having dinner over there and they've got very much the same language. But they have the vertical panels at the top rather than the horizontal siding. And I just think I'm concerned about the horizontal siding and the fiber cement cornice, same product. I'm just very concerned that those are the cap on an otherwise a sizable building. It's not a town. It's not a townhouse. It's not even really a four-story garden. It's a larger, more massive building, and it bothers me that it's capped with, you know, the lowest grade materials on the building.
Okay, I hear you. You're killing them. Can I ask you, you know, because kind of this was what our change was before you, and like I said tonight. We are going to propose, you know, that we revise it one step further. Do your comments change at all, just because the relationship's a little bit different, if we go to the proposed revised elevation? I just want to make sure that I'm we're capturing your comments.
Caroline, maybe
whoops,
you did
go back one. That one.
And it's only recessed on Watson, correct?
No, it's recessed on both legs. Go back to the site plan, please. So see the gray area? It's been done on
right.
both ends.
Right.
But not on Swan.
No, because that's right across the street from a 110-foot office building.
Right.
So go back to the elevation.
I appreciate the way that that relates to the neighbors and that that helps on that facade, but it still doesn't address the sort of the quality of materials issue.
So go back to the one that we were looking at before. I'm sorry, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we can talk about that. Oh,
this
okay.
one.
Scott, do you have anything to add or you understand the comment?
I understand the
yeah.
comment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you come up here
yeah.
and so that everybody can hear you?
We have our attempt was to make the top floor a little different than the
mm-hmm.
rest of the building. I'm repeating myself. Whereas the lower part is obviously brick, the top is a different material. It has the larger windows. They're basically floor to ceiling. They span a larger opening to kind of give that the predominant material of that facade, with the attempt that that's kind of a different material,
mm-hmm.
gives it a differentiation from the rest of the building.
Yeah, and I'm fine with the differentiation and the height change. I think that's wise from a for sale perspective, bigger windows. I just think the materials are cheap and the finishing is cheap. And you can even get away with that at an upper floor because you're standing at street level. You're looking up, but I'm just concerned that that you've maybe gone too far and it's too inarticulate and too low budget.
And of course, fiber cement is used a lot now,
that's
right?
Fine.
And it's used as
yep.
an accent and a top material. You're gonna see it in North Potomac Yard to some extent. You see it in Beauregard and other
mm-hmm.
areas. And so I guess
but it's available in vertical panels as well.
Well, that was my question. Is it kind of not, I understand the comment about the material, it's not
yes.
masonry, but it is considered kind of high quality enough that
yeah,
it's used
a
lot?
I should clarify.
Yeah. Okay.
The use of it as in a horizontal fashion that looks like horizontal lap siding
wow.
reads as cheap.
Okay.
Whereas there are other ways to use the same product that do not read as inexpensive.
It's the siding, not the material.
Yes.
Yeah. And the staff had the same comment, and I think we actually talked with you a little bit about that, Scott, about looking at, because we didn't really understand what the profile is of the siding, is it lapped, is it abutting, maybe if it had a gap in it. I think we actually have a condition in our report that says to continue to study the dimensions of that siding and its orientation. So.
And you're saying the orientation, or at least not the siding. It could be panel, it could be...
Right.
Okay.
I think there are ways to articulate that product
yep.
That will both address issues of apparent cheapness and proportion, because it's also still, you still have a dramatically different proportion in that upper level. The other thing that I had thought of that could address proportion is if you had some little... a secondary cornice or a sunshade over the windows, something to help break that big hat.
So of course at this point, right, we're going to public hearing in October and we're looking for your recommendations. So I think kind of if that's, if there's consensus among your group, that would probably be something that you submit as a refinement as part of your letter. If that's, you'd have to kind of articulate it and then we can see what happens.
I agree with you, Jeremy. I think, well, mainly on the kind of the top heaviness still exists. Some of the moves did help a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
basically the base grew by about a foot
mm-hmm.
and the cornice shifted up by 8 inches or something. So I know there's not a lot of room to maneuver, but I think it's a step in the right direction. Whether it goes far enough, I think, is what
mm-hmm.
I think what we're seeing right now.
Okay. So, I don't know what you want to do, Derek.
Well, are there any other comments on the proposal with regard to the step back? That's a new item tonight. I don't know if you guys had anything to say about that.
think it makes a lot of sense to start, you know, if that's the kind of idea behind the massing of this project is to kind of transition between the shorter townhomes and the taller office building, I guess that's across the street. I think that goes to that end for sure. I think it's definitely an improvement.
Yeah.
And yeah, this graphic is key, I think. Yeah, it kind of tells a story, so I appreciate you guys including it.
Okay, do you
want to
see
the So I think at this point, you may want to see if there's any comments from this.
Is there anything else from...
I think it addresses the initial concerns, to your point. Those materials throughout Potomac Yard don't seem to weather and wear that well either. I see a lot of fading and staining and cracking, it seems, so if there could be something else up there.
So maybe at this point you want to open it up to see if there's any comments from the public.
We do have plenty of guests here today, and obviously it's a public forum, so I guess are there any other comments from
people? And if you could maybe stand and identify yourself.
Maybe more than that. My name is Jesse Wirtz. I live in that building that is right next to that guy standing there looking up in 2503 Mainline Boulevard. My partner and I would like to voice our opposition to the increased height. Although the step back is a nice touch, we still think the building should stay within the master plan for Potomac Yard and not be increased past its original planned height. I would also like to point out the layout of the building as a potential concern. Each of these towers only has one elevator total. And if that elevator is not working for some reason, you live in a sixth floor walk-up. You also are going to be moving into this building, and to move into this building, you won't be using a loading dock because there isn't one. So it's a logistical nightmare to move in and out of this building. Also, the amenities I think this building provides for future residents is severely limited. There's no community room like this space. It is wall-to-wall units on the ground floor to the top floor with no space to build a community. Other than that, I think the steps you've made architecturally wise, choice of materials, I think you're moving in the right direction. I think the building overall complements the community, and I think you've done good work there. We still oppose the increase in height and the increase in density of the units past what Potomac Yard's master plan originally called. Thanks.
Anyone else?
I'll go. I'm Kirk Lockman. I live on Watson Street, 717 Watson. I apologize for my dress. I'm doing dog duty. And also, my wife's on travel for 3 straight weeks. She works from home normally, so construction for 48 months. The construction noise, or sheet piling for 18 months at 80 dB inside the house. Inside the house, 85 dB is where you require hearing protection, full-time per requirements, 80 dB inside the house. Turn your stereo off, get your smartphone app off, turn it to 80, leave it on 8 hours a day for 18 months during work hours. Or when you're home, you'll get the same feeling. She's an expert in her field, and so she requires a lot of reading and study time. We knew there was going to be a construction. We didn't expect that kind of noise, so that was an issue. Also, I agree with what Jesse said. I agree with the architectural details. It looks beautiful. Your changes look great. The height, I mean, 100% lockstep with Jesse on the comments he had. The only other comment I'd add is digging into a Superfund site as someone who deals with environmental cleanup of the nuclear weapons complex as my day job. Bad idea. Incredibly bad idea. Don't do it. Don't do it. PCBs, lead. It's fine. You're talking about 28 feet down, they didn't. This is the most contaminated land bay in the area.
Okay.
They did not dig down 28 feet. Footings, fine, we understand that. Limited, again, it's a limited time frame. You have to mitigate the dust. You cannot let it get airborne. Would you like to dust your house with carcinogens? Would you look? None of us do, right? It just makes sense. You can spray fixatives, you can spray water. It doesn't matter. In my experience, running $6.5 billion worth of work in 11 states and 16 sites, it doesn't work 100% of the time. Fair enough? Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
I'll follow up with Kirk. My name is Scott Yocum. I live the street behind in Bluemont. We did get to see the construction of the town right in front of us, so we have experience what it is like in the construction zone. Pulte did a great job. Everything looks great, but I can attest that what you're saying about airborne particles, and you're talking only small footers and you're watching the whole thing. The back of our townhomes was absolutely coated with debris and dirt for really probably the last 8-9 months. So that's just with the minor, you know, 3 or 4 story.
There. Yeah, it was at the Fraser at the time I watched.
Yeah, and I know that for sure because my wife cleaned all the windows from top to bottom. So it's a real thing. It's not just an unreasonable request. So we ask you to think of that. I know we've had a lot of feedback. We think that overall, let's say what Jesse said, Pulte's done a great job with architectural design, how things look. One comment I asked the committee is that if you're a design committee, then you should be sticking to design. I'm not really sure where the discussion is on height. That's not within your purview and your authority to make comments on or to approve. So as far as I'm concerned, if there's a vote tonight, it's purely design. It has nothing to do with really, even frankly, the bump out there. I mean, that's a height variance that is a code ordinance issue legally, and you're not authorized to vote on that. So I'd ask you to keep that in mind tonight as we move forward. Beyond that, we do appreciate at least Pulte making effort. We realize that now where the relationship sits is more on the city side and making the push. We are against the density. We are against the increase in size and the way it's done. Again, I'm not right on Watson, so we're sympathetic. We're here to support them, but we are not for the current design here. So again, design committee, great job, but height, everything else, it should not be a discussion for this committee. So thank you.
So I would argue that this step back is most certainly in your purview, because as a design committee, while you may not be looking at the 70 versus 55, it certainly is a design change that is in front of you as it relates to the building that was presented in April, the revisions that were made to bring us to date, and then the proposed adjustment to improve the transition. So that is a design consideration.
Go ahead.
Hey, can I?
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I'll
wait. I don't want to sidetrack things too much, but your comments about the brownfield really got me thinking. I mean, can you guys address that? I mean, I just have to think that provision has been made.
Yeah, I mean, I just would say that the city has pretty aggressive protocols for all of this kind of stuff, because this is not the only place where we deal with this.
Sure.
The waterfront, we've had a lot of contamination as well. So we have protocols that set out exactly how these things are removed, the process for removing, that it has to be covered, and all that stuff is handled by, we have a department that handles that specifically. So all that will be reviewed as part of the final site plan and then in more detail with the building permit. So,
I just didn't know if there was something.
It's not a Superfund site. It has not been on the Superfund list since before the railroad sold it to the developer back in 1999. So they did clean up to get it off the Superfund site. And then there is environmental work that's been done. There's soils testing throughout the construction. As you mentioned, I think you were the one who mentioned, there are buildings all over Potomac Yard that have below grade parking. And we have office buildings in Lambay G that are gonna be before
there's
you.
There's gonna be a lot deeper.
That are taller, right, deeper, yeah. So yeah.
I just didn't know
most contaminated Lambay and Potomac Yard.
Sorry, okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if there was anything we could say now like that to kind of
reassure. And they were aware of environmental issues when they moved into
And also when we moved in, we were aware that the building, this lot was zoned for 32 multifamily units.
36.
36.
And you also were aware that the plan could change.
I'm not done. It's inappropriate to interrupt.
I didn't interrupt. You finished a sentence and I started a new one.
this is what we're going to reduce to in all meetings with Pulte so far. That we don't feel like we've been heard, and we really would like to continue the conversation further with you before you vote on something and potentially take us down a path where we can't turn around. We purchased February 28th, okay? That was our closing date. We know what we were told. We know what we signed, all right? We know what the building, we read the master plan, for God's sake. We found it, read it, made sure we understood what was going on. We know the land is contaminated. We knew it going in. But the game's changed dramatically by nearly 400%.
Talk about the density.
Yes.
I did want to ask a question regarding your comment about the elevator.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Is there a freight elevator or something that can be accessed through the garage where they can move in?
Two residential elevators are on the plan you're looking at in front of.
So I can answer that question. There are two residential elevators, one in each building. We have submitted draft condition language to the city that requires that all move-ins and move-outs happen from Swan Avenue. And so they'll basically move in like other people move into apartment buildings where you go through the front door. As to the discrepancies between our understanding of what was going to be built here, it does get contentious because every time I point out that as purchasers in Potomac Yard, they signed disclosure information that said, number one, any plan on any block could change, that the applicant could request changes to that block. They signed a disclosure that said, you cannot rely on any representations by Pulte employees, real estate brokers, and that there's environmental contamination and here's what it is and here's how it's gonna be handled. So you are correct that the conversation devolves because they don't like it when I point those facts out to them and others. So this is a very urban community, millions of square feet of density. We just spent a year talking about 7.5 million square feet of density in North Potomac Yard. There's over, I think, almost 2 million square feet of density that was recently approved in Oakville Triangle. So the increase of 106 units on this block that was always intended to be multifamily and was always intended to transition is, I think, a reasonable request and also fits in with the mass, the scale, the context of the neighborhood. We did talk about the fact that they are correct. There are 36 units left in Potomac Yard, but really that's a result of, on this block, it's a result of deduction of the overall number of units as a project's built. Some blocks have accommodated more units than they might have otherwise accommodated. And so just by deduction, as different blocks have been built, mathematically what remains is 36 units on this block. But if you look at that CDD concept plan, what it shows you is an aqua footprint of a multifamily building. So the expectation was that you would have a multifamily building that wraps the block just like every other multifamily building. And in fact, instead what we have done is push that density and mass back away from Watson, dropped the height, which I think is a good change to make that transition a little smoother. But what we have to remember here is we have a metro station coming. We also have residents here who are dying to get some retail in Potomac Yard. And what you need to make metro successful and to get a 24/7 neighborhood is density and people. And 106, well now 104 unit increase, is not that big an increase. But the reality of it is, it's gonna provide additional riders, additional residents, and over $500,000 in added tax revenue every year. So when people talk about the special tax district, this building pays 20 cents per $100 of assessed value on those taxes. And obviously because of the additional units, it has a higher real estate property tax. So there's been a lot of conversation about the special tax district and potentially ways to, you know, get eliminated, get through it quicker. I would posit that having $500,000 additional a year to put towards those efforts helps us get to that point sooner.
Are you saying the special tax district is going to go away quicker because your building is bigger and larger?
I'm saying that the special tax district will go away when Metro's paid off. So the more money that goes towards paying for Metro, yes. That's what I'm saying. If there is more development quicker and there is more tax revenue, then the math works out that at some point Metro will be paid off, and hopefully it will be sooner than later.
You're telling me this building does that?
What I have said is that this building creates over $500,000 in additional tax revenue from the 36 units that were originally proposed. That's what I'm telling you. And so, and the other thing, so the other thing I will say is, though, just from a planning principle of mass, scale, density, height, that's really kind of what drove the design of this. And in fact, staff encouraged us to increase the mass, scale, density, and height, because it would look a little bit odd to have 36 townhouses or 36 multifamily units in a big old field between 110-foot high office building and townhouses.
Can I just say one thing about the special tax district as a resident of Potomac Yard too? If this, you know, I think that's highly speculative. Our 10 cents is not going to be any lower because of their 20 cents. We've heard from countless city officials that the special tax district, you know, they're not really sure how it's going to work. So I think anything talking about reducing the term of when they sunset that is highly speculative at this point.
It could be.
The Kaiser building was originally supposed to be a certain square footage, right?
Yep.
They reduced the footprint of that. So where does the additional tax revenue come from? Where is that made up? Is this an example that we're not certain? To your point, this is supposed to be 104 units. If some of the other buildings that are set to be 200,000 square feet downsized to 100,000 square feet, that tax revenue would need to be made up someplace else.
So and that's a fair point. So let's just stick to then the idea that it's $500,000 more of tax revenue.
Okay.
And the city can spend it however it wants to spend it. But my only point is it's that much more revenue on an annual basis.
Sure.
That arguably, you're right, if everything else, if every other ounce of density is used up, mm-hmm. which I have rarely had a client, honestly, leave density on the table at the end of the day. So even though that NIB building is less than the maximum density, the idea would be that that extra however many thousand square feet would get picked up in another block. But it's a fair point, and I'm not promising, no, that's not what I intended to
sure,
say.
Sure.
I was saying that having more tax revenue
absolutely.
Is helpful.
I think we need to focus back on the purpose of this group, because cool. most of us aren't specialists in these other things. Okay, and one more question, and then.
Hi, I'm Emily Burley. I live at 725 Watson. So I agree with my neighbors, of course, on the comments they made. Something that I think does relate to design and aesthetic is that they want to have a parking garage on Watson Street, and they already have a parking garage at the end of the street. So I think when we talk about things that make the neighborhood look inexpensive,
yeah,
that's definitely one thing. I also think it's a huge safety issue. There are children who live on the street, and there will likely be more children who live on the street. And I think that people are carelessly in and out of parking garages, and I think that was a safety issue. And I'm not saying I think this plan is unreasonable, but I think that it's reasonable for us to give feedback on it, because we understand that you're building this and where you're coming from, but we're the ones who are living with these decisions. So as we grow our families, we really would appreciate some of these things taken into consideration.
Okay, thank you.
Good question on hers. When you come out of the parking garage, mm-hmm. and if you turn left when you go towards Potomac Ave, mm-hmm. do you have the option once you get to Potomac Ave to turn left and right, or just right?
Just right.
Just right. No, that's not the one. So what I was trying to find is we have had discussions about the parking garage, and I think even some of the residents have gone back to talk to staff about options on the parking garage. And the bottom line is, as to the parking access, it has always been on Watson Street, whether it was a smaller building or a bigger building. And the reason for that, there are multiple reasons, but if you look at Swan Avenue, and I was wishing I had an exhibit, there's a finger park there. So as you know, we created Potomac Yard, and there's Custis, Howell, Custis, Swan, and then Glebe. And those kind of roads are supposed to be the linkages to Delray and the kind of the main kind of traffic through Potomac Yard from an east-west standpoint. There's an island, there's that finger park on Swan Avenue, so it's a one-way situation, you know, on this side of the block. And the idea is that the parking garage would line up with the access for the townhouses on the secondary street, which would be Watson Street. In terms of whether it could be put on Main Line or Potomac Avenue, I know that some of the residents have a difference of opinion, but what our traffic consultant has told us and what has been verified by Transportation and Environmental Services staff is that there is not enough distance between this road and that road to add a parking garage with cars going in and out of it. There are situations at the Fraser where the building's the entire block, and there's access on Main Line that comes into the block and then turns and goes down into the garage, but that's not possible with the dimensions of this block, and that's not me saying that. That's been verified by our consultant and city staff.
For the residents, that tells us the building is too large for the space.
No, because
that also, I would point out, since we brought up the Fingerling Park on Swan, if you look at the topographical layout of the architectural plan for the community, I think the Swan Avenue creates the logical break between residential and future commercial. And the argument that we're stepping up somehow to soften the blow of the large commercial building, I think is done by the Fingerling Park on Swan.
Except that if we built townhouses across the street or...
I'm not asking for townhouses, I'm asking for an industrial-looking building that doesn't deviate from the master plan's height variance. Mm-hmm. Much like the 64 unit plan that you submitted in April to the city, which was basically this design with just a shorter building. Somehow we got from that plan to the explosion in height we have and the increased number of units.
And one of the documents that we all signed was that we would not disturb the land because of the environmental concerns and the contaminants that are left in the soil. That is a document we had to sign as we closed our houses. I can provide that to staff of your committee. I don't have it with me right now, but I certainly, my email is, I think, the last one to sign on there. Let me know if you want it. I'll send you a copy. I'm happy to do that.
The design guidelines called for below grade parking, so whether it's this building or any other building, it would have below grade parking based on the conditions in the CDD. The only exception was for the collector garage for IDA, and the if this had gone to a GSA tenant building, a GSA tenant could put above grade parking.
But we just heard that you can change anything in these, and that residents should be used to change.
This
I
is our
proposal. I heard, so you could have a grade level parking structure. You could do other options.
Why
be creative?
If you reduce the size of the building down to 64 units, probably one level of garage and cut the development time.
Right.
Can I
ask a question? Apologies. My understanding, and it could be that I misunderstood the original plan, but my understanding was that when the building was 36 units, there was no parking garage.
That's correct.
I don't know what plan you're referencing. How can you say that's correct? Did you see that 36 units?
That was the one they were having their sales office with. Sure.
Well, I think we're getting a little far afield here. We presented a building to you guys in April. We got comments back from you in April, and this is our proposal.
Let's not focus on the important.
Well, no, I think we've focused. We've had meetings with the residents. We've had four meetings now.
So just again, you know, the focus of this group is really on the design guidelines. That's all that they, that's their knowledge base, and that's really their focus. But I will point out that there are two planning commissioners here tonight that are sitting amongst you. So they're hearing what you're saying, and perhaps they'll have some discussions about that. And of course, the appropriate venue for your concerns is either to meet with specific departments at City Hall. If you have environmental concerns, we have a whole slew of staff who are experts in that, or traffic. You're welcome to do that, and you're also welcome, of course, to speak to the Planning Commission at their public hearing, where they take on a larger number of topics beyond just the design elements. But this group is only here to look at the design aspects of the plan. It's not to mean that they're dismissing your comments. They've heard them, but they can't really do anything about those things.
Have you asked for environmental documents? Got told to go FOIA them. Seriously, not making it up, sir. That's not community.
Well,
I think
I have a hard time with that myself.
I'd like to ask a couple follow-up questions, if I may, based on some of these comments. And also point out that we probably do need to do a better job of being clear, maybe at the beginning of every meeting even, about what our what our focus and purview is, because the term design can mean a lot of different things, and we have some specific code-defined things. And I read them today, but I didn't read them in such a way that I'm prepared to explain them. But it does address some of the issues that Scott, I think, said we don't have jurisdiction. I think actually technically we do, but it would serve us all well if we review that for future projects and just keep reiterating it for public awareness. So I wanted to offer that comment. I wanted to ask, is there anything in the design, what's prohibiting these buildings from joining in the middle in some fashion?
So one of the common themes throughout Potomac Yard, if you go all the way to the mm-hmm. south, was the idea of a pedestrian connection mm-hmm. that goes from the south mm-hmm. all the way through the project up through this block. And so that is a design feature that has been adhered to for every block.
Okay. Is that encoded that the pedestrian connection can we bridge over the pedestrian connection?
That was done for the Fraser because it's an entire block. Mm-hmm. But for the other blocks that run north-south, that has not been something that staff has supported. It's a kind of open to the sky, inviting
right.
pedestrian connection.
I'm thinking specifically about the elevator concern, because that is a management issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's
think
less
the one,
of an issue in a condo.
That's what I was going to say.
It's less
these
of an
are
issue
condo
in a condo
buildings,
than
not
an apartment. It's an issue for the first move-ins, and after that, there's a lot less turnover than there is in apartments.
One other concern that was brought up by other neighbors that I failed to mention was package delivery. There's 140 units in this place. Everyone gets Amazon packages. There's no lobby with the front reception for even the desk to deliver packages. They will pile up around each of the front entrances, and they're just going to be there.
There are walk-up buildings all through Delray, all through Alexandria, and they figure out a way to get packages to the residents. These actually have elevators, of course, but there are a lot of buildings that don't have lobbies or concierges.
May I ask, where is the trash recycle collection in this
So the trash and recycling is in the basement. It will be brought up to Rotson Street for pickup. There is, once again, based on our conversations with the residents, we have submitted a condition that will say that that the trash and recycling will be brought up at the time of collection, will be collected and put back into the garage. There will be no permitted kind of staging / standing of trash receptacles on Watson Street.
So just to be clear, the trash truck will pull up to Watson Street where that parking garage entrance is. They will bring up dumpsters through that same garage that cars are entering and exiting from, empty them, and take them back down to that ramp into the basement and dispose of them immediately. That's the plan. I'm assuming weekly.
Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
How many times a week?
Once? At least what?
Maybe twice.
Maybe twice.
Most families typically
want at least once or twice.
Currently on Swan Avenue, is that the streetscape with the curb there? There's no parking on that side? On the
correct.
South
there
side?
Is, there is, I can't remember. Is
there will be parking.
There will be parking on Swan.
Isn't that where you said the move-in will happen on Swan?
Yeah, so they will do it like, just if you lived in like Old Town, you go to TNES and you get a permit, and you can block the parking spaces while you're moving in and moving out.
That will be required to be on that street, not on
correct.
That.
Correct.
We've added a condition, at least that's what we proposed, that staff add a condition requiring that.
Thank you.
So what's the pleasure of the PIDAC committee?
Are there any other comments from the committee members or questions?
Well, I have to say, I do appreciate the aesthetics of the front that you did. I know there's a lot of concerns. I hope that the residents that have shared that can be addressed and some transparency with some of the data they would like to receive and hopefully not have to go through FOIA. I know it's not under our purview, but in terms of the design, I do appreciate the four things that we asked you to reconsider and that you did, and I do appreciate that. But just again, there's been a lot of concerns and comments that are out of our jurisdiction per se as a committee, but I hope that they will be at least get some response to those. I mean, the main concern that I do think in design is the one elevator, but I hear what you said, and then the parking garage, but you've shared with us, you've had it looked at through various officials and have talked about why it couldn't be somewhere else, so I just hope maybe there could be some more transparency shared with the residents about that and just what the decision was. You said it was not your decision, so at least you've looked at that. I do think that's concerning that it's right there, but I do appreciate again the work that you did from the last time in terms of our requests.
So if I understand, it's our action, proposed act, we offer an action to the recommendation to the planning commission.
That's right. With whatever kind of comments or corollaries.
Okay, so I have a draft of some thoughts, is that we would support, so I will offer this for your discussion, if you don't mind, if you don't need it as a formal motion yet.
No,
that we support the proposed building design and density with the following caveats. That we recommend revision of the aesthetic of the top floor exterior, and I could be more specific if we needed to. And we recommend provision to the Planning Commission of a plan describing package delivery, move-in staging, and trash pickup.
Those type of provisions, those type of plans, as called out as part of what has to the applicant has to provide in their application.
Typically,
process.
We have that type of information. I know we have information about the trash, the staging. You mean not during construction, but
correct for move-in.
For move-in, mm-hmm. I mean, the plan really is that they'll apply for a permit from the city to park their moving truck on Swan, so that's standard procedure.
But I mean, I don't think it's too much to ask that to be described.
So right. can I read you the conditions that we've proposed, and I'm not sure whether staff or the Planning Commission. For loading, we said all loading activities associated with move-in and move-out shall occur on Swan Avenue. Prospective purchasers of the unit shall be advised of this condition in writing prior to entering into a contract of sale. As for trash, we said trash and recycling receptacles shall be stored in designated rooms located within the underground parking garage. The receptacles shall remain in the rooms at all times except during collection. On collection days, the receptacles may be temporarily removed from the rooms and transported outside for collection. Immediately following collection, the receptacles shall be returned to the designated rooms within the garage. And then we've requested that the building design include the quality of materials and final detailing shall be consistent with the elevation dated July 10th, 2017, as amended by the exhibit dated September 20th, 2017, and all approved conditions. And so that's just reflecting the step back.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one other condition that we have made, requested based on conversations with the neighbors that hasn't been mentioned tonight, but since I've already read the other three, relates to parking. One parking space shall be reserved as a limited common element for each condominium unit and sold to the purchaser of said unit. The remaining parking spaces may be unbundled from the sale of units and purchased or leased separately by the residents if desired. And so there was a concern about staff had wanted us to unbundle the parking so that each parking space had to be separate, and so kind of a compromise position that I think staff is okay with.
We
or no?
haven't accepted it yet.
You did not accept it yet. Okay. So we're trying to find kind of a compromise where each unit will have at least one space. That will leave a pool of additional spaces that can be purchased by condo owners. So if you have two bedrooms or you have two people in a one bedroom, they would be able to purchase that extra space. So those are the four conditions that we have submitted to staff for consideration.
One question on the move-in. Do they all come online at the same time?
No, so the idea is that this building number one, would be completed first. So the garage gets built all at once. So the kind of heavy, kind of below grade construction that we've been talking about happens first. Then this building, and then those units will be sold, and based on the pace of sale of those units, then the second building.
So in theory, they won't all be moving in the same.
No.
Can I ask a quick follow-up question, just about the package delivery and mail and stuff like that? I've never lived in a large building like this except for an apartment complex, but is there, what about U.S. mail, mailboxes? So my condo, obviously, we have that little, standing thing that's bolted to the ground.
Yeah, there's actually a small lobby in each building where all the mailboxes are for each unit.
Okay.
And that's where the packages will be dropped off as well.
Is it the doors access controlled to get into the building?
Yep.
Can I make a request in addition to the explanation of the package and moving that those original explanations? Could there also be something to clearly convey to the residents the purpose of putting the garage on Watson Street versus either Potomac or Main Line when there are other blocks in the city that are smaller that have parking lot office? It would just be really helpful to see that.
What you were referencing is making sure there's documentation for the Planning Commission of how that's going to be handled, correct?
Yes, but I mean,
by extension,
the public.
Right. Yeah. But it's a plan. So as to that parking, I'm wondering, Dirk, is that something you all handle in the staff report? The reason for the parking entrance?
We do, yes. I just have to look at it again.
So I think that information will be in the staff report. If not, it'll be discussed, I think.
All right, I think there weren't any kind of additional comments from your initial thoughtful
recommendation. Does that have enough detail for your purposes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just restate it.
Sure.
For official.
And what about the trash? Is that then addressed separately and I don't need to include the trash?
It's in a condition.
We've accepted those conditions, so I think it covers that.
Okay.
So I'll take that up. All right. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that this the PIDEC support the proposed building and density and recommend it to the Planning Commission with the following caveats. One, we recommend revision to the aesthetic of the top floor exterior. And two, we recommend provision of a written plan describing the package delivery and move-in staging.
Made by Mr. Fretz, that's where you make official. Anyone seconding?
Do we need to spell out the revisions to the top floor a little bit more, just specifically?
Can. I'll entertain an amendment to the motion.
Can I amend the motion to add more detail to the revisions to the top floor? I think your language was used about vertical line instead of the horizontal.
So, about I restate. We'll avoid the recommend revision of the aesthetic of the top floor exterior, comma, specifically to exclude horizontal siding and to encourage breaking down the scale of the floor. I don't want to hem us into something written in 30 seconds. But. Dirk, can you get that?
Yes, and we also have it on tape.
Okay.
So.
Anybody have any questions on my revised motion? All right.
Second on the motion?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Okay. We have a recommendation.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you all.